Welcome to the Pacific Northwest edition of America Outdoors Radio. We've got a fast-paced hour of fishing, hunting, and conservation covering the nation and the Northwest, including 13 extra minutes of local content you'll only hear on Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.
What a glorious week. Did you get out for the May 5th opener? I did, and so did a whole bunch of folks that I know. It was interesting to see what everyone was after. On my end, I stayed close to home and went to a couple of local ponds with my teenage daughter where we had a blast casting spinners and spoons for stocked rainbow trout. In less than 90 minutes, we managed to catch and release 14 trout measuring 8 to over 12 inches in size and lost a couple of jumbo trout on top of that. That was a fun day. As for my friends posting on Facebook, there were others who went after trout too, but when it came to the Puget Sound region, it appears lingcod was the treat that many anglers were after. Meanwhile, in eastern Washington, walleye seemed to be a popular fish to go after as well. Rounding out the Facebook photos I saw were some nice kokanee pics, along with a pic of a nice catfish reeled in overnight, and a photo of a northern pike caught in northeast Washington. One thing I should point out from my observations at several lakes, there were a good amount of anglers out on the 5th, but people were really good about maintaining social distance, and just about everyone I saw, whether they were catching fish or not, were really happy to be fishing again. If you're a salmon angler, the Columbia River is open for spring Chinook fishing today and on the 13th. Speaking of salmon, the Skagit River is opening up from the Memorial Highway Bridge in Mount Vernon up to Gilligan Creek from May 16th through the 31st for hatchery springers. You can keep up to two of them. This is an opportunity that looks like it ought to be a lot of fun. If you are looking at making a little money while fishing the Columbia, the Northern Pike Minnow Sport Reward Fishery Program starts again on May 11th. And those fish ought to be very plentiful. They're worth $5 to $8 apiece, not to mention those $500 tagged fish. So great excuse to head to the Columbia, make a little money. You can find out more about this fishery at www.pikeminnow.org. East of the Cascades, our friends at Mardon Resort have not been able to open up yet for camping and overnight stays, but their store is open with not only groceries, but also a huge supply of fishing tackle and some insider knowledge. And the Beach Bar and Grill is open for takeout service too. So when you are able to head to Potholes Reservoir for what should be some fantastic spring walleye, bass, and trout fishing, they will be there for you. Now, you might need some bait or tackle or lures for your local trips on this side of the mountains. And if you do, the place to go is your local Sportsman's Warehouse store. There are four open in the greater Puget Sound region. You'll find them in Puyallup, Federal Way, Silverdale, and Everett. And they are all ready to meet your fishing and hiking and soon-to-be camping needs. Turning to our guests this week, we've got some good ones. Mike Livingston, the WDFW Director for South Central Washington, will join us at the bottom of the hour. He's going to tell you about some fishing and turkey hunting opportunities available if you can get there in a day or back. Remember, we're not doing overnight travels yet. And Bob Loomis will join us at the end of the program to roll out a brand new product. You simply must troll at a lake near you if you want to put more trout in the boat. This new lure, it looks like it's going to work great. All right, let's move on to our national programming. And if you're into cooking, deer hunting, or kokanee fishing, I think you're going to like what we've got for you this week.
That's your first local shot of the outdoors. Now let's see what's going on across the nation.
From well-known saltwater hotspots to hidden alpine lakes, learn the latest in tips, tackle, and techniques to help you catch more fish.
It's going to be a great show.
Northwest Fishing Reports, Sundays at 5 p.m. on Q13 Fox.
Want to get into the fish? Then head to the Olympic Peninsula. Excel Fishing Charters will get you into salmon near CQ, where you can keep two Chinook a day, or bottom fishing out of Mia Bay, where an abundant limit of rockfish and lingcod await. You'll be fishing in a comfortable boat with Tom Burlingame, and if you need a place to stay, he's got you covered at the Inn at Mia Bay. Book today at excelfishingcharters.com.
It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
Welcome aboard. In case you didn't know, firearm sales during this COVID-19 pandemic, they have gone through the roof. They have been absolutely on fire, and a good portion of the people buying these firearms are first-time buyers, which is great. I'm all for having a firearm for personal security as well as hunting and other legal purposes. But here's a question. When it comes to personal security, how well are you trained if you're a firearm owner, if you're a brand new firearm owner, or even if you're a person who's owned a pistol or maybe an AR-style rifle for a while? You might not have the training to properly use the tool that you have. That's why I'm really excited to announce a new partnership we have with FrontSight. Now, FrontSight is a firearms training facility for civilians. It's located near Las Vegas, Nevada. It really is the premier training facility of this type. And they offer not only training for civilians, but also for law enforcement, for military, for all sorts of folks who really want to up their game when it comes to being able to use their firearms in a trained way for the best outcome if something bad happens. Now, they have a basic course, and it usually costs over $2,000 to get into this, but because of our partnership with them, they are offering it absolutely free of charge to you. You've got to get down there to Nevada, pay for your lodging and your meals, of course, but the training itself, the reason to go, that is absolutely free, and you will be a competent and trained firearms owner when you are done. If you want to take advantage of this, here's the website to go to, frontsight.com/outdoors. Again, that's frontsight.com/outdoors for an absolutely free multi-day training course that will help you become the firearms owner you want to be, prepared for anything that comes your way. This week on the show, we're covering everything from wild game Mother's Day brunches to kokanee fishing, and the meat of our show is going to deal with deer hunting. Let me tell you who our guests are. We're going to have Bo Martonic from East Meets West Hunt Podcast. He's going to be on in just a few minutes to tell you about hunting timber cuts. You know, those clear cuts that you see that usually break your heart when you see them. They can be a really good place to target if you're looking for a quality buck this fall. Speaking of quality bucks this fall, we are going to share an award-winning interview we recorded with Robbie Deming. He is the author of Hunting Big Mule Deer, and he's got some great advice for hunting mid to late season mule deer bucks you are going to want to hear. On the kokanee side of the house, we're going to talk to Gary Coe. He is the president of Kokanee Power. The organization is based in California, but it's actually a multi-state organization. And he'll tell you not only about this great group, but also about the kokanee salmon, the increasing popularity of this fishery, and some of his favorite places to go fishing in Northern California for these great tasting fish. But first, it's time to introduce you to our first guest, who is a very special and well-known guest indeed. Next up on America Outdoors Radio, it is Mother's Day weekend, and I hope you are doing something for your mom. Now, you might be at a disadvantage this year because a lot of the normal stores that you would shop at for mom are closed, and certainly just about all the restaurants around the nation are closed too, so you can't take her out to brunch, but you can always make her a brunch. And if you're an outdoors enthusiast, a hunter, or a fisherman, we've got just the person to help you make a wild brunch. That would be Scott Laseth. He is the sporting chef. His show airs Sundays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the Sportsman's Channel. He also is the host of Dead Meat, which also airs on the Sportsman's Channel, and he is a longtime brand ambassador for our friends at Camp Chef and at Worksharp. Scott, it is great to have you on the air again.
Good to be here, and we got mom covered. Those of us who hunt and fish, we've got stuff in the freezer, right?
We certainly do, though because of the quarantine, I don't know about you, my freezer is getting a lot emptier than it normally is this time of year.
Well, I told my wife by the end of the summer, we may have to start eating a few frog legs. But other than that, I think I'm okay.
Well, you had a great segment called The Wild Brunch, and it was actually a takeoff on one of my favorite Old West movies, The Wild Bunch. But with Mother's Day here, I thought this would be a great time to talk about making your mom a brunch. Why don't you take us through a couple of the recipes and ideas that you shared with listeners on the air?
You know, for the first thing that I do, I look for these random pieces of fish. Let's say you've just got like a half a pound of halibut and maybe a little salmon. I like to make fish cakes out of that. And it makes it kind of interesting if you have different kinds of fish in there. So the most important thing when you're thawing out that fish that you're digging around your freezer is if it's freezer burnt, you can cut the freezer burnt part off. If it's completely freezer burnt, don't serve it to mom. But I want you, once it's thawed, you'll notice in those packets that you froze them in, there wasn't any fish juice in there when you froze it. But when you thaw it, it's got all this pink, funky fish juice in there. So make sure that you get your fish super, super, super dry. Wrap it in 2-ply paper towels. Give it a squeeze and wick as much of that moisture out of it as you can. Break it up. Throw it into a bowl. Put a little egg, mayonnaise, a little bit of breadcrumb, some of your favorite seasoning. Big squeeze of lemon, and then you want it, you're going to be making fish cakes, just like a crab cake, and you want it to be a little bit more moist than what you may be used to for a crab cake. And if you pop it down and brown it on one side into a skillet with a little olive oil and butter, flip it over on the other side, get it lightly browned, pop it into a 350-degree oven for about 3 minutes while you're finishing making your hollandaise. And the hollandaise you can make in a blender. It is so incredibly easy. And that's, hollandaise scares a lot of people off because they've tried to make hollandaise and it breaks. In your blender, put in 3 egg yolks, a half teaspoon of Dijon mustard, a little splash of lemon juice, and let that process. And while that's processing, take a cup of butter, melted butter. You can just take a cup of butter, melt it in the microwave so that it's nice and hot and bubbly. While the motor's running, you drizzle in a few drops just to set the egg yolks, and then a little thin, steady stream with all of that butter. You have instant hollandaise that doesn't break. You can just leave it at room temperature. You can just warm it up a little bit in a pot before you serve it. That on top of your fish cakes, I guarantee you mom will love.
Not just mom. I think everybody's going to love that. So, folks, this one works for Father's Day, too. Something else you talked about was wild game sausage and incorporating that into a brunch or breakfast meal.
Easy enough to do. Let's say you got a couple of duck breasts, antlered game parts, whatever it is. Run it through a grinder and I like to use pork shoulder for fat. You can just throw in some ground pork. You can throw in some bacon ends and pieces, but you need to add some fat to it. And there are some great sausage kits. High Mountain Seasoning makes some great sausage kits. Or you can just use any basic breakfast sausage seasoning and you just turn it into a patty. If you don't have a grinder, just cut it up into about 1 to 2 inch pieces and pulse it in a food processor. But be careful. You don't want to turn it into meat pudding. Just pulse it so it's a little bit chunky. Same kind of deal. Just form it into patties. You don't need any special equipment. And it's going to taste just like any other breakfast sausage.
Ugh. Absolutely love it. Shifting gears really quick. We both are big fans of WorkSharp. I'm guessing you've got one of their knife sharpeners in your kitchen. Which one is it?
I've got the Ken Onion. The Ken Onion does absolutely everything. And as a matter of fact, I'm the cooking editor for Ducks Unlimited magazine, and we just shot a big feature yesterday. And the first thing I did was I sat down with my Ken Onion sharpener and sharpened every knife in my drawer and in my knife block, because that's the kind of thing you can do when you're at home stuck with the coronavirus and not able to travel. Sharpen every knife you have.
And then do it again and again and again. I get it. Folks, the Ken Onion sharpener is like the Cadillac of knife sharpeners from WorkSharp. Myself, I've got the electric combo sharpener. It doesn't quite have all the bells and whistles, but is also a great tool for your kitchen. And if you want to check out more of what WorkSharp has, go to their website. It's WorkSharpTools.com. And when you're there, you can get one heck of a discount by using the coupon code RADIO. just order what you want. And before you check out, type in radio as a coupon code. You'll get 30% off plus free shipping, and your kitchen will have the sharpest knives in town. Scott, love these great ideas for Mother's Day brunch, Father's Day brunch, and beyond. Do stay well, and I look forward to seeing your shows on the Sportsman's Channel this spring, summer, and through the fall.
Very good, John. We'll do it again.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone at any time. When it's your time, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For your personal protection, I recommend training at Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility located near Las Vegas, Nevada. And due to our relationship with Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, I've arranged for you and your family to train there too, free of charge. Yes, it's true. In your internet browser, enter frontsight.com/hunt to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course absolutely free of charge with no hidden surprises or catches. Enter frontsight.com/hunt. After your first course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population guaranteed. Nobody does it better than Front Sight, but you must act before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/hunt. See you at Front Sight.
Immerse yourself in a complete Alaska wilderness experience through Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Up to six of you will spend a week in a beautiful waterfront log home in a secluded cove. Every day is a new adventure. Go on a guided fishing trip or haul in a bounty of shrimp and crab. Visit a Native American village where totem poles are carved. Go on a whale or bear watching trip and return back to your very own place at the end of the day. Find out more about the Alaska Wilderness Experience at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com.
Are you looking for a game changer to help you catch more trout, kokanee, and salmon? No problem. Just tie on Max Crip Lure. Cast it or troll it. Either way, its specially designed ring chamber emits a low-frequency vibration with its erratic movement. It will catch more fish and make them strike. Better still, the different colors for the lure can be matched to just about any fishery. Look for the Crip Lure from Max Lure Company at a sporting goods store near you or go online at maxlure.com.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter and has what you need as a hunter, angler, hiker, paddler, camper, and outdoors enthusiast. They also carry an extensive assortment of firearms and ammunition you simply can't find anymore at many big box stores. On top of that, their knowledgeable staff is here to help you purchase the right gear so you can get the most out of your outdoor experience. Visit your local Sportsman's Warehouse store today or shop online anytime at sportsmans.com.
John Cruz here. I want to share a little news from a couple of our sponsors. One of them is the Tillamook Coast Visitors Association. The other one is Mardon Resort at Eastern Washington's Potholes Reservoir. Both of them would love to see you, but not right now, not during the stay-at-home order. Mardon Resort is closed for now. The Tillamook Coast is just servicing the local population. But this shall pass, this coronavirus, and now is the time to go to TillamookCoast.com and MardonResort.com to plan your time at the beach, whether it be at Eastern Washington's Potholes Reservoir or the Oregon coast. And don't forget your fishing pole, because there's lots of great fishing too. That's TillamookCoast.com and MardonResort.com. Now is the time to make those plans for a late summer or early fall trip to the beach for fishing, boating, and outdoors fun. You're going to love it. You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz, and for a good portion of the show, we're going to talk about deer hunting, because a lot of us are going to be deer hunting this fall. And one person who knows all about this topic is Bo Martonic. He hails from Pennsylvania. He's the host of East Meets West Hunt Podcast. He's also got a YouTube channel. He's also just wrote a great article for Peterson's Bow Hunting Magazine about the subject of hunting timber cuts. Bo, welcome to the show.
John, thanks for having me on again. I appreciate that, and I'm looking forward to talking about hunting timber cuts.
Well, you know, it's almost an emotional subject. I know when I drive past a clear cut, I'm always heartbroken just by the sight of it. But you're a cup half full sort of person. When you see a timber cut, you think opportunity when it comes to deer hunting. Why is that?
So, yeah, like you said, I mean, I used to get that kind of like that sinking feeling in my stomach when I'd go to scout one of my hunting areas or drive past a spot only to see muddy skid trails and trees that were hacked down. But really, you know, what I've come to learn based off these clear cuts and these timber cuts is that all that's going to do is just create new growth, which it creates new food, and as it gets thicker, bedding, and just a lot of great things for deer and other wildlife in general. And it's really kind of like a regeneration of the forest. And although it might look kind of ugly to the eye at first, and change things up as far as patterns and things along those lines, it's really a good thing in the long run.
What I really liked about the article you wrote was you break down different tactics for different age clear cuts. And this is based on the way that deer use these clear cuts. And I would imagine this applies not only for white-tailed deer, but also black-tailed deer on the West Coast and mule deer too. Let's talk about those brand new clear cuts, anywhere from just got cut in the spring or summer to all the way to 3 years old. How are deer using these cuts and how would you recommend hunting them?
Basically, those fresh cuts, those younger ones, like you said, that the loggers tend to leave some of the tops of the trees laying on the ground for an extended period of time, which can be good for food. So the tops are where the deer couldn't reach them and couldn't browse them, whether there was just no branches there because it was an old growth timber stand or whatever the reason may be. There's a lot more food that's there that they're able to browse on. And also gives them, you know, something to be able to bed next to when they have those treetops laying down. So even though they look generally open, there can still be some good cover in there for bedding. And for me, I've found that usually these are better to hunt when you get some real cold weather. Cold weather spells are pushing to get some food, and they're going into these areas to feed. So it's really difficult to hunt, you know, in the center of these cuts or inside. One, because there's not many trees left, if any at all, but also just from a standpoint of sticking out like a sore thumb in those trees that are left over. So being able to hunt the edges, you know, maybe on a low-lying part in the topography that's funneling a deer and in a corner, there's ditches or ridges for travel zones and trails, and basically hunting the outsides of those.
Let's talk about timber cuts that are 3 to 8 years old, because the dynamic starts to change. You start to get some of that secondary growth that's coming up, and I'm guessing this provides both food and cover for those deer, doesn't it?
Yes, this middle-age cuts are my absolute favorite to hunt. So, yeah, they have, as they begin to age, you know, you're starting to get some dewberry, blackberry bushes, some of that stuff starting to grow thick in areas, the new growth. Timber and trees are starting to come up, and you know, you might get those reaching 5 to 8 feet tall, which just there's in luscious grasses that are coming up on the skid trail. So many different food sources, it's like a buffet for the deer. And also, you know, it's thickening that vegetation for them to be able to bed in, and they feel secure moving through that because that vegetation is up 5 to 8 feet now, that they just feel like they're, you know, really comfortable in that. But that can be really helpful with being able to hunt that, because you can get in some of those trees that they left standing, or say like a conifer tree that they didn't cut down, and be above that line, and they're not apt to look up like they would in a, you know, a big open timber stand. So you can hunt, you know, some of those logging trails that are more on the interior of the cut, or otherwise focus on the outside as you would with the younger cuts to be able to try to catch a buck running the downwind side to scent check for does that are bedded just inside those cuts.
Bo, this is fantastic information. Last but not least, and I guess this might be the toughest one, you know, those timber cuts that are maturing again, that are over 8 years old, you know, obviously glassing from afar is going to be tough because there is so much growth in the area now. How are the deer using these mature cuts that are basically coming back, and how the heck do you hunt them?
Yeah. These are one of the toughest ones to hunt, but still can be really effective. I mean, as they get to that age, they're not as thick on the undergrowth cover. They're starting to get some bigger trees, but still pretty close together. But you're starting to get some different food sources, maybe some mushrooms starting to grow on old stumps and logs. And in Pennsylvania, we have chokecherry trees that sometimes grow in these areas that produce the little red berries called chokecherries, and deer seem to like those. You can also find some of the blackberry bushes and briars that you had in those younger cuts, but just not as prevalent. I tend to find the deer bedded more on the edges of these than rather than in the center. And kind of how I'm looking to hunt them is, you know, it's really tough to get in the center of them once again from a different standpoint where the trees are not really big enough to support a stand, but they're at a weird size. So it's tough to get into. But if you can find a spot where you can hunt those logging cuts that are going through the interior, or again, on the outside where there's, you know, you can find a scrape or anything else that's creating travel patterns there, that's what I think the best chances are. I would say if you can find a community scrape and get on there at the end of October, right as the rut's getting ready to kick off, more of the pre-rut, I think that's when you're going to have the best chance on these older cuts.
You know, you just gave me and our listeners an education in 6 minutes that is worth its weight in gold. I never would have thought about all the opportunities available by hunting timber cuts, and I'm pretty sure I'm never going to look at timber cuts the same way again. Let's go ahead and change topics here. I want to talk about you. I want to talk about East Meets West. You've got a podcast. Now you've got a YouTube channel too?
Yeah, thank you. So the East Meets West Hunt podcast was designed to be able to help people from the East Coast and other areas to be able to find adventure through their hunts, say maybe in on a western state they'd never been to, and just really show that these opportunities are out there and the information is there to make those happen. You don't need to be rich or, you know, to have all these, you know, opportunities. They're out there for anybody to be able to find. And so recently I started a YouTube channel, and that's actually just under my name, Bo Martonic, to help people within the Appalachian Mountain Range. And actually, as you said here, can be applied to a lot of other places with hunting mountain whitetails. So mountain bucks, I'm going through some videos, some scouting videos showing the potential and how I'm scouting these endless timber areas that we find throughout the Appalachian Mountains. And as I've gotten to talk to people like yourself and others throughout the West, I'm finding some of the mountain whitetails out West are doing similar things. So I guess it applies across both ranges.
I think there's a lot more in common than not when it comes to deer hunting in our United States. So it's wonderful that you are producing this content. Folks, I would really recommend you check it out. The podcast, look for East Meets West Hunt. You can find it on all the regular podcast platforms you'd expect. You can go to Bo's YouTube channel. Just look for Bo Martonic. You'll get lots of information there, too. And look for him in some of the better-known magazines when it comes to hunting advice. The author, again, is Bo Martonic. And the website, eastmeetswesthunt.com. That's eastmeetswesthunt.com. Bo, it's always a pleasure to have you on America Outdoors Radio.
Yeah, John, thanks again for having me on. I'm looking forward to getting to talk to you again.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is the voice for your public lands, waters, and wildlife. From the Canadian Yukon to the Florida Everglades, we're stepping up to conserve North America's public lands, defend our hunting and fishing traditions, and expand public access to the outdoors. Our outdoor heritage depends on sportsmen and women like you speaking up for the natural resources that sustain our way of life. Find out how you can get involved at backcountryhunters.org and become a BHA member today.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on Earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com.
Ready for more local fishing and hunting? You got it. It's the Pacific Northwest edition of America Outdoors Radio, right here on Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Next, we're taking you across the Cascades to Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife's Region 3. We're talking about Kittitas, Yakima, and Benton counties here. And with us here to tell you more about the fishing and hunting available is the director for this region, Mike Livingston. Mike, great to have you on the air.
Thank you, John. It's good to be here.
Well, a lot of folks are very happy to be out in the woods again, to be out on the water again. You do have a lot of lakes. You've got some rivers, too, where people are going to be wanting to drop a line. What are some of the more popular ones that you expect to find a lot of anglers at?
Yeah, on the river side of things, the Yakima River has a really popular catch-and-release trout fishery in this region. From Clee Ellum down to Sela, we have some really nice rainbow trout in that stretch of the river, and we're expecting a lot of people to be continuing to enjoy their time out there. We've opened up the boat launches and the takeout sites, and then also the Bureau of Land Management has opened up some of their sites in the Yakima Canyon so people could take advantage of that.
What about some of the lakes in your area that get a lot of attention?
May is a prime time for lowland lakes fishing in Washington. Our hatchery crews were busy even during the closure and stocking rainbow trout throughout the region. A few of the local waters include Mattoon and Breedle Lakes near Ellensburg. Also in the lower Yakima River Valley there, we have the I-82 ponds, very popular with the local community. People like to catch the trout there from the banks. Some of the other places that people like to go, the lower Yakima River, I didn't mention that with the other piece, but smallmouth bass and channel catfish are really popular fisheries there, as well as on the Palouse, the Walla Walla Rivers, and the sloughs of the Columbia River, where the slow water can be really productive for largemouth and smallmouth bass.
Lots of opportunity there, folks. Let's talk about spring turkey. Your region's not really known for producing, but are there some prospects?
Yeah, on the spring turkey hunting, I will note that about 80% of the turkeys are taken in our far eastern region. Region 3 accounts for about 4% of harvest. Places people like to go here include the Cowichi Creek Drainage, Weenass Creek, Tianaway, and the Clackam Wildlife Area.
As you can see, there's some great opportunities for both fishing and hunting just east of the Cascades. Do remember to make these a day trip. We want to limit the exposure of COVID-19. And do remember to practice social distancing and only travel in family groups until we get more of a handle on this pandemic. With that in mind, get out there and enjoy them. You're listening to America Outdoors Radio. We're talking deer hunting, and we're going to share an interview from Northwestern Outdoors Radio, our regional show. This won a major award this year, and it's chock full of information that mule deer hunters are going to be able to use throughout the Western United States. You're back in with Northwestern Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. When it comes to deer hunting, especially mule deer hunting, my go-to person to talk to is Robbie Denning. He is the author of Hunting Big Mule Deer, How to Take the Best Buck of Your Life. He also is the administrator and founder of Rockslide, ROKSlide.com, full of great information about hunting, and he is joining us today. Robbie, great to have you back on the show.
Hey, thanks for the invite. I love coming on here. Good to talk to you, John.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for taking the time from Eastern Idaho to join us. Question for you. The general season, early archery and muzzleloader seasons, they've come and gone for deer hunters, at least most deer hunters across the West. I know that the general season continues in Montana until December 1st. And the question is this. Should hunters just kind of give up at this point because the deer are so educated?
Nope, it's just time to change tactics.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. That's why I wanted to go ahead and talk about this a little bit. So the tactics you use in September and October are probably not going to work in November and December. Let's talk about things you should be doing now that maybe you were doing earlier that won't work now.
Sure. You know, earlier in the season, the bucks seem to be a lot more patternable. And so any of your summer scouting or even just, you know, a little bit of scouting right before the season can pay off because mule deer bucks are what they call phylopatric. Yeah, that's a big word that means they like to go to the same area, same places every year. And so if you're finding them, you know, close to, you know, the September, early to mid-October time frame, they're probably going to be right around in there. They don't move a lot unless there's a lot of pressure, you know, or extreme amount of snow. So you can just keep pounding away on the same mountain and expect it success. But once you get past mid-October, especially this year, there's been some heavy snow in certain parts of the West. Those bucks are going to move, and they're going to be less predictable on where to find them. I think the toughest time to hunt a mule deer buck's about October 15th through November 1st, because there's just so much transition going on. You don't know where to find them. But, you know, once you get past about the 1st of November, you know, I've written this down in journals for, you know, 30 years, and I see the bucks start to come around the does for breeding purposes, what we call the rut. Roughly Halloween this year, you know, as you've mentioned, it's been very cold in the West. I think that gets sets the rut earlier a little bit. You know, it can't vary a whole lot because of when the fawns have to be born, but it just seems like cold weather and snow bumps up the intensity of the rut. And I saw a buck chasing a doe, a mature buck. I'm not talking the 2 points, you know, the immature bucks, but I'm talking the mature bucks, the ones that most guys are interested in that follow me. I saw the earliest rutting activity I've seen this year. It was October 24th.
Wow.
That bumps it up 2 days from what I've seen in the past. Now, we're not talking dumb in the rut, you know, standing by the road, look at me at noon. Not that kind of activity. But I did see a mature buck checking does on the morning of October 24th. And, you know, prior to that, it was October 26th. So things are already rolling right now. The bucks are getting interested in the does. The first thing I think guys need to understand this time of year, no matter what they observe, the rut is occurring, and so you want to adjust your hunting tactics to it. And the reason I say that is because, you know, as a younger hunter, and I still run into hunters that, you know, they'll go out on a nice sunny afternoon, the 10th of November, you know, and, well, I saw 10 head of does, there wasn't a buck around them, so there's no rut this year. And, oh, man, you can't think that way. And
right.
You know, a lot of guys, you know, get it in their mind that, oh, if they're rutting, they're going to be standing right out here on the side of the road waving to me, and I just get out and shoot them. No. All rutting does is cue you off to start focusing on the does. And I'm not talking about the ones that are standing off the side of the road. I'm talking about the secure does that are not getting bothered very much. That's where I start spending my time after Halloween, watching those does, because I know those older bucks are going to start to show up around them. A mule deer has about a 200-day gestation period. And if you're talking basically the 33rd parallel, that's about central Arizona, central New Mexico north, the rut is pretty predictable north of that line. There's a few variations, but, you know, for our purposes, the peak of the rut's going to be somewhere between about the 10th and 20th of November, right around in there. But like I said, we see rutting activity even a few weeks before that. And so that's when I look at the calendar, and if it's past Halloween, I start looking for the does. And in most of the West, those does are not going to be where those bucks were a couple of weeks ago before they migrated. They're going to be in, you know, typically a little gentler terrain, closer to winter range, maybe even on the winter range. But if you don't get that through your head, you're still going to be going to your spots that you went to in October. And, you know, I saw bucks here. Oh, there's no bucks around. Oh, they all died. Whatever. You're going to psych yourself out. Or if it's just like, hey, no, they're around the does. I just need to start hunting does and looking around there. And then, you know, realize older bucks, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, they're still not dumb. And, you know, they're not going to be typically around those does in the midday. You know, if the weather's nice, I think they kind of shift to more of a nighttime breeding pattern. I really can't explain why. It's just what I've observed. But I know if I'm spending the prime hours, the mornings and the evenings, keeping an eye on those does, my odds go way up of seeing a mature buck and sometimes even a monster buck.
You're listening to Northwestern Outdoors Radio. We're talking to Robbie Denning, the author of Hunting Big Mule Deer. And as you just heard, this is actually probably the best time of the season to go after a buck if you're able to do so, depending on what state you're in and what the seasons are. Let's talk about specific tactics you use this time of year to find and bag a big mule deer.
Well, we just covered about kind of where to look in the terrain. You know, I'm closer to winter range. You know, I'm closer to those transitional areas where the deer are moving probably from high to low. And so that's where I'm spending my time. And then it gets down to whether it's open country or whether it's, you know, semi-open to closed country. By closed, I mean, you know, lots of cover.
Sure.
You know, different states are going to have different vegetation. But pinyon, juniper, oak brush in kind of our southwestern states. You get into, you know, Idaho, northern Nevada, Utah, Montana, you're looking more at maple and, you know, ceanothus, you know, just a brushier aspen. Aspen's a big one up here. In fact, that's one of my favorite places to hunt is around that. And so if it's open, I'm spending more time glassing because I can cover a lot more country. And I'll be using big glass, you know, 35 power Swarovski BTXs are some of my favorite, or, you know, the bigger spotting scopes. You know, I'm looking out 3, 4, 5 miles and in big circles. And because I know that if I can see them, you know, I've got their home address, then I can plan my stalk, you know, and if they're that far away, it may be even the next day before I'm on them. But that's a great tactic, and that's my main one. But if I start moving into country where, you know, smaller openings, a lot of brush, stuff like that, and then I got to get in there and find the deer, and I do that by tracking. I'm looking for tracks, and not just snow. I mean, snow is great, but it's kind of undependable. You know, I'm always looking at the ground where there's a lot of cover, because that's going to tell me, you know, where the deer activity is. And that's the great thing about this time of year, is if I'm finding doe tracks, that's really all I need. Is if I'm finding doe tracks, I know, okay, there's going to be bucks around here. If it's secure, you know, again, it can't be right off the ATV trail where everybody is riding through every morning. You know, sure. You can't go there if you want a mature buck. But, you know, if I'm starting to find tracks, then I'm narrowing down that I'm going to hunt in this area. And, you know, and it's not that I'm not glassing. I'm just not spending so much time doing it. And those tracks tell me where those deer are. That's when I really start to pay attention to the wind. I call it obeying the wind. Once I know where the deer are, I let the wind dictate how I'm going to hunt that, because it's more cover. It's going to be, closer range shooting. The chance of them smelling you is much higher. So I may want to sit on that nice little knob over there in the middle of that sea of quaking aspen, but the wind's blowing right into it. So nope, I'm going to have to come in downwind, you know, get the wind in my favor and pussyfoot through there when I think the deer are up and active, and, you know, probably end up with some type of close range shot.
Robbie, I hate to catch you off, but believe it or not, we are already out of time, and I could listen to you for hours talking about this.
Oh,
but
thank you.
We are bumping up against a commercial break. So,
okay, man.
So folks, bottom line is this, you just heard some great information about bagging a mule deer. And if you want to find a big buck, look for the does right now. And if you want even more information, buy Robbie Denning's book. It's Hunting Big Mule Deer, How to Take the Best Buck of Your Life. You'll find it at Amazon.com. And check out Robbie's website too at Rockslide, ROKSlide.com. Full of hunting information there as well. Robbie, thanks as always. Love having you on Northwestern Outdoors Radio.
You bet. Thanks again, John.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone at any time. When it's your time, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For your personal protection, I recommend training at Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility located near Las Vegas, Nevada. And due to our relationship with Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, I've arranged for you and your family to train there too, free of charge. Yes, it's true. In your internet browser, enter frontsight.com/hunt to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course absolutely free of charge with no hidden surprises or catches. Enter frontsight.com/hunt. After your first course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population guaranteed. Nobody does it better than Front Sight, but you must act before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/hunt. See you at Front Sight.
Immerse yourself in a complete Alaska wilderness experience through Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Up to 6 of you will spend a week in a beautiful waterfront log home in a secluded cove. Every day is a new adventure. Go on a guided fishing trip or haul in a bounty of shrimp and crab. Visit a Native American village where totem poles are carved. Go on a whale or bear watching trip and return back to your very own place at the end of the day. Find out more about the Alaska Wilderness Experience at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com.
The Dalles in Oregon is your base camp for fishing fun. Reel in big salmon, tangle with steelhead, bass, and walleye, or wrestle a monster sturgeon to the boat. After the day is done, you'll find a variety of lodging options around town. Need to resupply? We've got you covered with sporting goods stores, plus great dining, breweries, wineries, and can't-miss attractions like the Gorge Discovery Center. Plan your fishing getaway today at explorethedalles.com. That's explorethedalles.com.
Hunting and fishing are exercises in hope. Before you head into the woods, you hope to tag out on a deer you'll have to field dress. Before you make that first cast, you hope for a big fish to clean and fillet. When your hopes are realized, you'll need a sharp knife. Whether you sharpen that blade on a power sharpener in the shop or a manual sharpener in the field, WorkSharp has the tool for you. Look for WorkSharp products in sporting goods stores near you or online at WorkSharpTools.com.
Kokanee!
Kokanee indeed. That's what my family says every time they catch a delicious Kokanee salmon. And we're reeling them in today. We're trolling spinners, crop dusters, or my personal favorite mini squids behind Dodgers made by Christensen's Lakeshore Tackle. Tested at Flaming Gorge Reservoir, Lakeshore Tackle will catch kokanee wherever you're fishing. Look for Lakeshore Tackle at Sportsman's Warehouse, Cabela's, and Shields, or online at lakeshoretackle.com. Kokanee indeed at lakeshoretackle.com.
Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. We've been talking hunting. Now it's time to talk fishing. And we're going to talk about a very special fish. It's the kokanee salmon. With us here to tell you more about it is Gary Coe. He's the president of Kokanee Power out of California. Gary, great to have you on the show.
Well, it's very nice being here, John. Thank you for the opportunity.
So, Gary, we've got listeners all over the United States. Let's tell them a little bit about the kokanee salmon, that landlocked sockeye, where it's found, and why it's so popular with anglers, not only in the western states, but also in some of our New England states and New York.
Which is a new fishery to me, but that's interesting that it's there. The kokanee salmon is, as you mentioned, a 100% landlocked sockeye. And it began in British Columbia. The first fish that were brought to the United States were out of the British Columbia area up in the Okanagan. And from that area were brought down to the United States. And the first water that they went into was in California, Shasta Lake, in 1942.
Wow. Had no idea they'd been here that long. Go on.
They were put in there. No one knew they were there for a long time. They were put in there originally as a forage fish for the other sport fisheries, the bass, the rainbows, the browns, and nobody really paid too much attention to them. And then sometime after 42, and I don't know the exact year, there were budgetary constraints that hit the state way back then, just like now, and they stopped planting. But the strain was self-sustaining to a point, and they continued to catch kokanee and started realizing them for the sport fishery that they were into the early 70s when we experienced the horrendous drought, and that killed them out of the lake. Until this year, we're starting to try to put them back.
Let's talk a little bit about the popularity of kokanee salmon fishing. I mean, it's really exploded in the western U.S. You've got destinations like Flaming Gorge Reservoir at the border of Utah and Wyoming. Several destinations we're about to talk about, Northern California, Wallowa Lake in Northeast Oregon, where the world record was taken, and several lakes in B.C. and Washington State, too, amongst others. Do you think the popularity has come just because our traditional salmon fisheries have, in so many cases, collapsed?
I think it's a contributing factor. And I see that in California all the time. Salmon fishermen that are used to going out into Delta or out into the blue water, you know, are asking questions and coming to organizations talking about inland sport fisheries because of the collapse of the blue water fishery up and down the coast. However, it's not the only reason the kokanee is popular. This organization that I preside over is a family organization, and kokanee fishing in general is as well, in that it's safe. You go to inland waters, lakes, reservoirs, and you can get in a reasonably sized boat with your wife, with your son, and the family can go fishing. It's pretty tough to do in a lot of situations, but that's something you see all the time in kokanee and trout fishermen.
I never thought of that. I always thought we were going after them just because they tasted so darn good, but that's a great point.
Well, you can't forget. They're pretty good table fare, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Absolutely yeah. Delicious. Now, you are the president of Kokanee Power. It's based in California. When did this group form, and what has it done for kokanee as a population and as a fishery in the Golden State?
Well, we submitted our letters of incorporation in the summer of 1998. So it doesn't seem possible, but we're over two decades old and approaching a quarter of a century quickly.
Wow.
Our founder was Phil Johnson, who we lost in 2001. When we first started, we were dedicated solely to the education, research, and enhancement of California's inland fisheries. We just didn't think enough had been done, back to the budgetary constraints of the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and we wanted to help. We enjoyed the fishery, and we wanted to make sure that our sons and grandsons had the same opportunity we have today.
And it's fair to say that Kokanee Power is not just a California organization anymore, is it?
No, it isn't. We have members in five states, and then there are other organizations. Some contact us and would like a hand. What do you do first? And we always have an open hand for that. And there are other organizations in the western United States growing that mirror ours to a point. They're on their own. They're doing their own thing. And if we can provide assistance, we do. But it's just huge. You know, it's a prolific fishery from Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and just keep coming west, Nevada, Oregon, Washington, California, all over the place. And then you can't forget the East Coast fishery. There's a lake in North Carolina that I just heard about last week that is producing 3-pound kokanee.
Oh, my goodness. That is a huge kokanee. Folks, your average kokanee used to be, when a lot of us started fishing for them, they were like 7 to 10 inches, and I think anyone would agree a kokanee that weighs a couple pounds is a really good kokanee. So when you start talking 3-pounders, folks, you're talking trophy fish here. We've got time for one more question. Why don't you give us two of your favorite kokanee lakes that you'd recommend people try?
You sure you have time for this?
You got to make it quick because we literally have 1 minute.
All right. Whiskey Town, just 10 miles west of Redding, has 2- and 3-pound fish in it almost annually. New Maloney's Reservoir in the Gold Country, south of Sacramento, also has large fish. Don Pedro, up in the elevations when it gets hot, we like to get up in the elevation and get out of some of the heat, you know, that the valley has here in California. Stampede Reservoir is just a terrific lake to fish. And it also has 2-pound kokanee in it.
All right, we have got to go, but folks, if you haven't already, check out kokaneepower.org. That's the website for Kokanee Power, and they've got a Facebook page too. Just look for Kokanee Power, and if you haven't fished for kokanee yet, you really ought to do so. You're missing out if you haven't. Gary, thanks for all you do, and thanks for sharing this with us today.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
Okay, let's share some outdoors news from some of our United States. In North Dakota, a one-week paddlefish snag and release season opens May 15th and runs through the 21st for anglers who hold a valid fishing license. Now, you aren't tempting these prehistoric fish to bite. Nope, you are snagging them. And unfortunately, the harvest season, normally open April 1st, was canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. This week-long season in May is a catch-and-release season for those anglers who just love the thought of wrestling with the big, unique-looking fish before letting it go. Bad news, at least for now, out of Alaska, where the famed sport fishery for Chinook salmon heading up the Yukon River is closed to sport anglers starting Monday the 11th. The preseason forecast ranges from 144,000 to 220,000 fish. With the long-term average being 225,000 fish, biologists felt that sport fishing just can't happen in mid-May, but if the numbers trend upward towards that long-term average return, there may be an opening for these magnificent fish in the weeks ahead. Hunting deadlines are coming up quick in a couple of western states. In Oregon, you've got until May 15th to put in for an application for a controlled hunt this fall. And if you're worried about the COVID-19 pandemic second wave affecting your hunt later this year, don't. ODFW Director Kurt Melcher says you will not lose your hard-earned preference points if you're unable to go hunting. If I'm an Oregon hunter, that's what I call peace of mind. Meanwhile, non-resident hunters have until June 1st to put in for mule deer and pronghorn tags in Wyoming, and residents of the Cowboy State have until June 1st to apply for elk and fall turkey tags. Finally, in West Virginia, Governor Jim Justice announced state residents can enjoy another month of free fishing. The requirement to possess a fishing license to fish has been waived through May 31st. Anglers are asked to continue practicing safe social distancing, and I've got to say, way to go, West Virginia, for helping regular folks out during a tough time by getting them outside and fishing. We've got to start wrapping things up, but a reminder, it is your last chance to enter our giveaway on Facebook. We're giving away some nice lures and some Dodgers from Christensen's Lakeshore Tackle. Just go to our America Outdoors Radio Facebook page, like and follow that page, and look for the post where we're doing the giveaway. Once you see it, just go ahead and let us know what city and state you're from. That's all you have to do. If you want a bonus entry, let us know what station you listen to the show on. And at the end of our last broadcast this weekend, we are going to draw a winner who's going to get this nice tackle package. While you're cruising the web, be sure to check out our website, too, at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. You can get previews of what's coming up, find links to our sponsors who support the show, and listen to our show as a podcast right off that page. By the way, our podcast is now finally available on Apple iTunes. Just look for it at America Outdoors Radio and listen to the show on the go. Until next week, I do hope you stay healthy. I hope you are blessed in the days ahead, both physically and mentally. And one way to get your mind off all of the stress that surrounds our life in these United States lately is to get outside and unwind. After all, it is your country and you're outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it.
Springtime is prime time to head to Mardon Resort to fish, hike, boat, and see wildlife. Park your RV, pitch a tent, or rent a wonderful park cottage at Central Washington's Potholes Reservoir and go play outside. When it comes to relaxing and enjoying the outdoors, Mardon is the place to be. To find out more, log on to MardonResort.com. That's MardonResort.com to book your next getaway, where the fish bite, but we don't.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
Don't leave yet. We've got one more local shot of fishing and hunting to wrap up the Pacific Northwest edition of America Outdoors Radio.
It's that time again. It's time for another Max Minute, brought to you by Max Lure. And with us again is Bob Loomis. Bob, always a pleasure.
Thank you, John.
Bob, a lot of people have got trout on their mind. Lakes are open throughout Washington State. We've also got lakes that have been open in all of our other northwestern states. And you've got a new lure that I haven't seen before that looks like it'll work really good for some of these trout if you're trolling from a boat, canoe, or kayak.
Yeah, it works fantastic, John. The Peewee Spinner Hoochie is basically it's a double hook setup with a squid body and a willow leaf blade. Most of the willow leaf blades on them are all high UV. The squid bodies are high UV or glow, and you know, they work fantastic for any of the trout species.
You know, this willow leaf blade, it's almost as long as the hoochie itself. It's not a little teeny thing, which means it's got some weight to it. So let's talk about fishing this. This time of year, are you flatlining it, using a keel weight, or, heaven forbid, using a downrigger?
Well, you can do all of the above, but I would predominantly flatline it, John. You know, predominantly those trout are up in that top 10 to 15 feet of the surface. So flatlining it a long ways behind a boat will work fantastic.
What about trolling speed? Again, because this is a willow leaf and it's a heavier blade, we're not going to be going super slow like we do with the Smile blades.
No, when you're fishing trout, you're going to want to fish a little bit faster to begin with. So you're going to want to fish like 1.4 all the way up to 2.
Okay. Well, it is the brand new Peewee Spinner Hoochie from Max Lure. You can find it coming up quick in stores near you or right now at maxlure.com.
That's all for this week, but don't worry. We'll do it all again next Saturday morning from 7 to 8 right here on Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.